Our text this morning is from Hebrews chapter 2. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, Epiphany is the Son of God from eternity showing himself to be true man born of the Virgin Mary and true God. This is the foundation for our confession of faith as we state in the ecumenical creeds, the Nicene, the Apostles, the Athanasian, creeds which many faithful Christian congregations join in saying every Sunday throughout the year. It matters whether or not you confess that Jesus is true God. It matters whether or not you confess that Jesus is true man. Both are needed. Saving faith in the God revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures is trusting in this Son of God and Son of Mary. There is not and cannot be compromise on this. To lose this revealed truth of Jesus is to lose salvation. As St. Luke wrote in the book of Acts, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Through the weeks of Epiphany, we see the boy Jesus in Jerusalem, his first miracle at Cana. We're told of his transfiguration, the time when he allowed Peter, James, and John to see a glimpse of his true divinity hidden beneath his true humanity. The book of Hebrews, part of which we've heard today, is a strikingly Christological book. That is, an in-depth writing of who Jesus is and what that means, with chapters teeming with Old Testament quotations and allusions. Here in this brief text from chapter 2, we hear both Psalm 22 and Isaiah chapter 8. These quotations serve to emphasize the truth that Jesus came to be in solidarity with his brothers, that is, with those who believe in him. And not only that, but to show what that solidarity with you and me means. He's not ashamed to call you his brethren. He certainly had cause to be ashamed of us all. We are sinners, and that means we are those who are connected by flesh and blood to the original sin, the sin of rejecting God and his promises, doubting his word, his truth, and living in ways that show that doubt and rejection time and time again. Yes, there are reasons for God to see you and be ashamed of you, but he is not. In fact, the Son of God came to be connected with you. He shares in your blood and flesh, true solidarity in a way beyond what we could ever expect. Jesus' humanity is not mere appearance, but substantial. He is not playing with words to make you feel good. He is showing you how much he desires you to be one with him in flesh and blood. The quotation from Psalm 22 helps us understand that. You might recall Psalm 22 as the one that Jesus prays when he is on the cross with those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22 is that psalm of lament, of profound sorrow. And yet the lament of Psalm 22 has a turning point, as do almost all of the psalms of lament. There's a change. And that change in Psalm 22 occurs right at this quotation that the author of Hebrews has for us here. It goes from lament to hope. The lament of one forsaken becomes the confession of trust. He has not finally been abandoned. He is saved. The Holy One will not see corruption. The sun will rise again the third day. The power of Satan, the power of death, is defeated by that one. And you are one with this Jesus, true God and true man. And that means death is defeated for you. Isaiah 8 is another key Old Testament text. It is part of a three-chapter section of Isaiah, chapters 7 through 9, part of which includes that great promise given to King Ahaz. A sign shall be given, right? The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. That promise was given to King Ahaz because he was doubting God at a time of national crisis. And Isaiah was given this word to give Ahaz and say, look, trust this promise. Don't put your trust in the powers of this world to get you out of this situation. No, trust what God has given you. Trust that the virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Ahaz would not trust that. But in the centuries that followed, we move toward the fulfillment of that very promised Emmanuel. And here the author of Hebrews makes it plain that Emmanuel is Jesus. And what does that mean? Well, we've already heard it. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, right, the Emmanuel, Jesus, himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who brought fear of death, who were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Now remember these words of Hebrews as we sing our closing hymn, and especially when we get to that stanza 7 of Come Your Hearts and Voices Raising. That stanza says, from the bondage that oppressed us, from sin's fetters that possessed us, from the grief that sore distressed us, we, the captives, now are free. In the powerful text of the hymn's author, Paul Gerhardt, we join our voices in confessing what it means to be one with the Son of God, the one who is not ashamed to say that you are his family, because that is what you are through faith in Jesus. He, the Son of God, is your brother, and you are united with him. God be praised for his glad tidings. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.